Hello and welcome to Intrepid Heroes Presents, a podcast where we chat about various topics related to role-playing games. I'm John Godek, and with me today is Jessica Catalan. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to finally get you on the podcast. I've been, you know, kind of chatting with you off and on, you know, both through Freelance Forge, but also I've been the editor on your kids' Wayfinder submissions for the last 2 years too.
Oh, were you? Awesome.
Yeah. So it's kind of neat to finally talk to you in person about things. So Jessica is a Canadian freelancer who has authored several Starfinder Society scenarios and contributed to several Pathfinder and Starfinder hardcover books. In addition, Jessica has contributed to Wayfinder, Hardwired RPG, Rusted Iron Games, and an unannounced adventure for Dungeon in a Box. Jessica has also founded The D20 Diaries at d20diaries.com, a personal blog that focuses on her family's experiences in D20 gaming. You've been really busy writing, it sounds like, for a while.
I have been, yeah.
So, Jessica, you started freelancing just this last spring, yet you already have a bunch of credits to your name. Can you tell us about your own journey in the gaming industry and how you got so involved so quickly?
Yeah, I started gaming quite a while ago, I guess 15 years or so, and I started with Dungeons & Dragons 3.5, but I came in kind of right at the tail end, so I switched right into Pathfinder, and I have been playing a really long time and always GMing, but I never really aimed to get into freelance writing. It was just sort of one of those goals, those dreams that you never quite believe you can make happen. And when about 2 years ago, my husband suggested I start a blog, D20 Diaries, because he's just a really supportive person. And he just felt that I had things to say and I should go for it. And you know, just start a something small. And, you know, he said, one day someone will read it and you'll get work. And I told him he was crazy. And then somebody read it and I got work.
Who read it?
A couple people were reading it. I know Thurston Hillman had read it, but he hadn't really associated that with me outside of the blog. But one day, one of the things we do on my blog is just put in short reviews or rundowns of what's in a book in just a vague sense, not to necessarily spoil something, but so that maybe you know what you're getting into when you get a book. Because especially with first edition, there's so many books. And you might not always know exactly kind of if it's got the content you're specifically looking for, especially if you're a gamer on a budget, right? Like I have a family and investing in books is a big investment. So one day I have lots of reviews on my website, but one day I went on to Paizo's website and I put in a review for every single Starfinder Society scenario. Because I already had reviews from them, but I was just switching them over to the
I guess.
I keep an eye on these things. And John Compton noticed who the heck put in all these reviews in like the same day, and sifted through my public profile there on Paizo's message boards, where there is a small link to my blog and to, you know, my Facebook and Twitter and all those kinds of things. And also saw that I had participated in a couple design challenges on Paizo's blog. Oh, I guess it was 2, 3, maybe even 4 years ago. So he just kind of poked around at my public profile and sent me an email and said, hey, do you want to try writing something? Are you even interested? And I squealed like a child, very excited. And promptly sent a much more professional, yes, I am, response. And then he passed my name along to Thurston Hillman, who within, it must have been a week, maybe 2 weeks at most from then, and he offered me a place on writing a quest for Starfinder Society's The Withering World, which is a Starfinder Society number 2-3. So I wrote that alongside a few other really talented authors. And then as soon as that one came out, it was like about a week, maybe 2 weeks. And I was already starting to wonder, you know, should I be reaching out? Should I try to contact somebody, you know, for just an extra follow-up? Should I look for more work? You know, I don't want this to be the only thing I have a chance to write, because I really, really enjoyed getting to work on it. It was just a great experience and a dream come true, obviously. And but not long after that, I got contacted by Thurston Hillman again to write another society scenario. And also Louise Loza also reached out to me to get me to work on something for Pathfinder Second Edition, which was my first chance to work on that. So that was absolutely awesome. And honestly, since then, it has been word of mouth. Most of the people I've gotten work from since have either been repeat people again, or, you know, they told somebody else that I did decent work and gave me more work.
And all this came from people reading your blog and you posting reviews?
All of it came from me specifically posting reviews I had written for my blog on Paizo's website. And then, but my blog gave people a place to, I guess, to see, like, I had an online presence of a sort that was already related to D20 games. So if you looked me up on Paizo's message boards, or if you looked me up on any of the other things I was on, it is relatively professional and interconnected, right? It's there was something to look at when someone went poking around, which made a difference.
Well, and they must have been impressed with your writing. So what type of writing experience did you have prior to writing for Paizo?
Prior to writing for Paizo? Not much. Not much of anything, actually. I was always, I mean, you do high school English. I was always good at it. I enjoyed it. I took a couple classes in university on English and creative writing, but just one or two. They were just like pickup classes. It wasn't what I was focusing on. And I always enjoyed writing stories and stuff, but primarily I was GMing. I mean, I ran whole campaigns for a long time, regularly and often. But other than that, not much. About the same time, I had submitted to Wayfinder magazine. Wayfinder number 19 was Destination Absalom Station. And I submitted to that two different things. I put in a Wheel or Woe article, which got accepted to that, which was great practice. And I made a couple backgrounds for that as well. And my children, actually, my kids have been playing Starfinder and Pathfinder since they were very, very young. And they also saw me writing stuff and they wanted to get in on it too. So I let them go crazy and they made some creatures for Wayfinder as well. And we all got published in that. And it came out after I had been hired, but I was already kind of working on it. So I got some good experience a little bit before moving into a scenario.
Yeah, and that's a great story. And you had never met anybody at Paizo before either, right?
No, never.
Yeah, so your case is really different than a lot of other people that I've talked to already. A lot of them had met folks at conventions and through that relationship got asked to write. You, it was kind of the complete opposite of that. So it's really nice to see. You know, I think it's good to see there are many paths to becoming a writer.
Exceptionally lucky both in being given a chance in the first place and being given as much work as I have so quickly.
So you had a studied anthropology in college before. Does that influence your writing at all?
A little bit. When I was in university, I was studying anthropology, among other things, but primarily anthropology as well as religious studies. And I learned a lot about, obviously culture and how people react to things. But also the first basic things in anthropology is context and figuring out something's context and where something fits in something else, either in a small, like maybe how you find something, but also in the bigger picture, like how did you find that and how does that teach you? What can you learn about it from what you've seen, right? And that is helpful in even just little ways, like when you're doing an adventure, right? It's important to think that thing is there. Why is it there? Or if I'm going to put this here, it needs to have something bigger behind the scenes, even if it's not something that really matters when it comes down to it, right? It's there for a reason, or somebody did something for a reason. So in that sense, it's been helpful.
I'm just kind of curious, you know, like when I talk to John Compton, you know, he has a background in archaeology, and you know, I kind of ask the same question just to see, because it's always interesting to see what influences come in to affect people in their writing, you know.
I find I use it in little ways, but a lot. Or even like I also took linguistics classes as a part of anthropology. Not so much to learn new languages, but to learn how languages change over time, or how one language affects another, or how naming conventions and things like that. So it's also helpful in little ways, like if I have to name a character from a certain culture, what tiny little bit of information do I have of their culture through either the Starfinder setting or the Pathfinder setting or whatever setting. And, you know, even just using those little names to make something new that still sounds like it's grounded in what it needs to be. So in all kinds of just little ways.
So, so far you've contributed to a whole variety of games, Starfinder, Pathfinder, second edition, D&D fifth edition, and others. How do you keep all these varied systems straight when you switch from project to project?
Well, most of them is just from playing, right? I mean, I've played first edition and for a very long time, and then the Pathfinder I switched to second edition when it came out. So we were, I mean, learning it right along with everybody else, and teaching it to my kids. I find if you have to teach something a lot, especially in as simple of a way as you can, things get stuck in there quicker. And for Starfinder also, I play it consistently. So it's not hard to keep games that you very regularly play, right, separate in terms of writing for them. I do play 5th edition less than I do play Pathfinder and Starfinder. So that just takes kind of re-reminding yourself, right? I usually have to, if I'm picking up a new project, stop. There's always some research involved, even if it's just me reminding myself, you know, if I have to write, I don't know, an adventure or in a place, right? Reminding myself about the place or what adventures have already been done there, or reminding myself of this, just grounding myself back in that game when I pick up a new project is helpful.
So do you play a lot of society up in Winnipeg?
Most of the society play that I do is online by play by post, actually.
Okay. Right.
Because again, my kids are 7 and 8, but, we don't get out that much they do have quite a bit of places I could be playing in a more public setting, right? I can head to multiple local game shops to go play, but, it's always in the evenings on the weekdays, and it's just not a good time. We do very occasionally head down to local gaming conventions, or, you know, a Saturday game day together as a family to play some organized play with other people, which is always great fun. And we always make it out to Free RPG Day. My kids love getting to play the new Skittermander adventures whenever they're out, and they're brand new. They're very excited. So we have fun with them.
Yeah, I've run that the Skitter Shot and Skitter Crash here the last 2 years, and the kids really seem to enjoy them quite a bit. The parents do too, but the kids especially.
Oh yeah, my kids absolutely adore Skittermanders. They're absolutely obsessed with the Skittermander dice bags. They want them for their birthday.
Oh, those are out now. You know, those are available.
Yeah. Oh, I saw them.
So, what advice do you have for people interested in getting into writing for RPGs?
Well, from my experience, I mean, obviously, it takes luck. I mean, I know some people work so hard just to get a foot in the door, and it's really hard. And making sure you have a place for someone to look if they want to know about you. Because if you can meet someone, like, that's awesome. I wish I could be that person who's at a convention getting to meet someone, you know, for real, and actually, you know, put myself in your memory like that. But even if you can, there's a lot of people, conventions are busy, and when someone looks at that business card you've handed them, or their, you know, your name written on a scrap of paper, if they can't find something about you, or can't specifically remember you, is harder. So I would recommend making sure you have some place, even if it's just something small, like your Twitter account, where you maybe follow some of these people you want to work for. And, you know, maybe occasionally post something. Or if you do have the time, you know, blogs are great, or just a splash page, or anything like that is a good start. And then getting your foot in the door. I mean, writing for Wayfinder is just a great experience. And, I mean, obviously, some of the people at Paizo do read these things. Maybe they'll love your stuff, maybe they won't. But even if they don't, getting the chance to actually write something and put it someplace, you know, a finished product like that, is just invaluable, both for working, but also to show people that you can do it. So those are great places to start. Freelance Forge, I know, has been mentioned many times on your podcast already, but I have gotten work through Freelance Forge, and it's a great place to join. For those of you who don't know, it is a private message board for people who are freelance authors or aspiring to be. It's a place to go if you need advice. And sometimes people, you know, if they're looking for a freelance writer, they might look there first. So it's a great place to join, and they're a really welcoming community. And other than that, professionally, I have found turning in, I mean, know the game you're working for is really important, obviously. And turning in good quality work, of course, you know, try your best, but turn it in, you know, on time and in the styles that they want you to turn it in. Turn it in early if you can, that's great. You know, don't take feedback personally. And stick to writing what you are actually being asked to write. I know sometimes people might want to impress somebody by showing something cool, but if you're asked to write something, you got to write that thing as best as you can, not something else cool.
So were you given feedback early on a lot of your work that you submitted, or not?
Not primarily, no. I got feedback through Wayfinder right in the beginning. I haven't gotten much feedback of any kind through Starfinder Society scenarios. I'm pretty sure they're just super busy. The only feedback I've gotten there so far was, do you want to write some more? So that's pretty good.
That's good feedback. Yeah.
Pretty good. I'll take it. And I have gotten feedback through some of the other people I work through Paizo. Often I've noticed some of the ones on the Pathfinder side try to take the time to always give you feedback afterwards, either because, you know, to help you be a better writer, for them to hire a writer to make you hired more easily. Especially some of the editing team have been really great with, you know, sending an email afterwards saying, hey, you did these things really great. You stuck to this styles really well, but we don't use this word. We use this word. Or like even just little mechanical things like that are just really, really helpful.
Oh yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Pathfinder team is way bigger than the Starfinder team. So I can see why there's a difference in,
yes,
in who can provide feedback. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Jessica, what's next for you? What can you tell us about? I know you worked on the Starship Operations Manual, and that's been announced.
Yeah, the Starship Operations Manual has been announced. That was a great project to work on, a really big one with lots of people working on it. I've also contributed to a couple other projects that are announced I can mention, but I can't give too many details on them. I am a contributor to Pathfinder's upcoming second edition Advanced Player's Guide, which was absolutely awesome to get to work on. Pathfinder Lost Omens Legends I got to work on. I'm also have written a second society scenario as well that didn't get messed into the Infernal Gallery, and I'm working on a third one, which was announced on Twitch, but I don't believe has a product page at the moment of recording. That is Starfinder Society number 3-2, the Subterranean Safari. And it was already mentioned that that does involve Skittermanders. And it does
excellent.
In the Scarium. So that is very exciting, but I can't tell you any more than that. Which is awesome. My kids are very excited.
Yeah, that's great. That's
yes.
Great.
Yes.
Well, Jessica, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today. I hope you are able to get out of Winnipeg sometime and see us at a convention. But, you know, if not, maybe next time I'm up that way, I will look for you at a local game store. I only get up to up that way once in a while, though. So
that's fair. I do have visiting BaiseauCon on the wish list here. Me and the kids and my husband do want to go out and definitely want to go see some of the people who've been nice enough to give me a chance to write for them, you know. And even just some of the people in the gaming community that, you know, I've met through Play by Posting and things like that, or other freelancers. There's lots of people we want to go say hi to. Hoping to get out maybe next year. We'll see, if not the one after.
All right. Well, I'm here. I'll see you next year or the one after then for sure.
Sometime.
Thanks. All right. Thanks again, Jessica.
Thank you.